from Gaza, all making their way to Israel to undergo medical checks. Israel is now expected to release 39 Palestinians from a prison in the West Bank as part of a four-day ceasefire agreement with Hamas.
11 Thai captives also released were not part of that ceasefire agreement. Correspondent Holly Williams has more on what's ahead.
Under the hostage deal, Hamas has agreed to release at least 50 hostages. And a senior U.S. official told CBS News it's thought a total of three Americans will be free.
In Gaza, hundreds of trucks with relief supplies are expected to roll in during these 4 days. Israel has agreed to allow more than 34,000 gallons of fuel per day. Officials in Gaza say they need 10 times that amount. CBS News Special Report, I'm Peter King.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in Marinette are reopening a 37-year-old cold case. The Sheriff's Department is asking for any new leads in the murder of David Hunter. Investigators say he was killed at a makeshift camp in the woods near Niagara in 1987. The Sheriff's Office is not saying why it's reopening the case now. Disability-related complaints with the Federal Department of Transportation are on the rise this year. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says airlines can't keep putting off becoming more accessible.
The baby boomers are aging rapidly. More and more of us will be disabled. This is no longer an issue that's pushed off to the corner of the desk. This is front and center.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. There's a little more than 31 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and Black Friday is the official start to the holiday shopping season. The National Retail Federation is predicting most of you will spend an average $800 on gifts, decorations, and more, which is up $50 from last year. Retail experts also say many shoppers are looking for the best deals and are planning to compare prices between Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, trying to wrap up gift buying early in the season. It's actually not something new. The organizers of the Macy's Parade considered their event the start to the holiday season, and in the early years called it the Macy's Christmas Parade to encourage shopping right after it. One more seasonal tie-in, the song called One Horse Open Sleigh, was meant for Thanksgiving. It instead became so popular during holiday shopping, it had to be renamed Jingle Bells. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 19. Tomorrow, cloudy, 32 with a little light snow possible Saturday night. Into Sunday morning, Sunday will be breezy with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Opt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to hour two of As Goes Wisconsin. Calvin is on the board. Carol Kane across me in the studio in downtown Waukesha, and we're always delighted to have our next guest join us. He is a registered life relationship career coach who draws on his clinical training in counseling psychology to help us improve our relationships and achieve our goals and generally fix our lives. Dr. Michael McCutcheon, good morning. How are you?
Hi.
We cannot hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Oh, you can. Okay, yes. Good. How are you?
Good. Excellent. Have you talked to mom? Have you talked to Mama Kristen?
Yes, I have. And also, I heard that I was listening to the show a little earlier. One of your listeners, or maybe a lot of your listeners, it sounds like, wants to ship me off to Washington to go deal with those. First of all, I'm flattered that you think that I could deal with those people and make any headway. That's really kind of you to think that my talents are that good. But I'm also a little offended. I want to hang out with you all. I don't want to go up there. It's honestly a little scary. I was watching the news and I saw what Carol was talking about, the Lauren versus Marjorie face-off. And I was thinking, can you imagine being in the same room with those two at the same time?
No.
Being in between them, that would be like that. That would be just like being between your two wildest relatives at Thanksgiving, but every day at work. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? That just I would quit.
Well,
I
think you're far too kind. I do. I think the House Republicans need some really tough love. And they need someone like Carol to go in there and just and scare them straight. You know, it's like, if you guys don't figure out how to get along, I'm taking away your iPads and your phones.
Right.
And
right.
You're grounded.
That's my first step, is just to sit them down and go, you guys look like jerks. Stop it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, Boebert will pull a gun on you. So I'm scared of Boebert.
MTG
yeah,
too.
I don't know. I think my move would be, do you remember when you were young and they would teach you the tornado drills and you'd have to crawl under your desk in like a little ball? That would be my move when these two are fighting. I would just go, let me know when it's over.
Somebody I'll be here.
Tap on the desk. You know?
That's hilarious.
When it's safe to come out. Let me know when
exactly.
to come out.
Yeah. I'm just like, who's that whimper? Is that Dr. Mike whimpering underneath there? Just like
that's
somebody
hilarious.
Come, yeah. Somebody give him a Lunchable and pull him out of there when he's ready.
Absolutely. Well, if you ever have any questions for Dr. Mike, you can always text them at 844-967-2789 or send us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. So are we ready to dive into this dilemma?
Let's do it.
Okay.
What do we have today?
Dear Dr. Mike, I'm a 28-year-old guy and I've been with my live-in girlfriend for almost 3 years. I love her a lot. She's definitely my best friend, but I've always doubted if I've ever been in love with her. I think she knows this because she is the only one who talks about getting married and having kids together. She typically has to pursue sex and intimacy, and she even jokes about loving me more than I love her. I just don't want to lose her or her family, who have now become my family. What should I do? Should I be satisfied with settling down and marrying my best friend? Or should I break up my calm but boring home so I can try to find a relationship that feels more passionate?
Boy, that's a tough one.
I mean, if you don't know that you're in love with her, that's the biggest red flag I've ever heard.
What do you think, Dr. Mike?
Yeah. It is a big red flag. I mean, well, first of all, I as a 28-year-old young man, I applaud the honesty to even look at oneself and say, this is how I'm feeling, right? As opposed to just sweeping it under the rug, because it sounds like a lot of things are actually going right in the relationship to make it last for 3 years,
right?
And say, this is my best friend and we're living together. It sounds like there's a lot of good things going on there, and it'd be very easy to say, no, everything's good, everything's great. Love her family. Let's just do it. So, you know, good on you for looking at your own stuff there and being honest. Carol's right. It is certainly a bright red flag that you're not in love with the person. You should probably know that after 3 years in there. I will also say, too, and I would love to hear what you two think about this, is that a relationship, by definition, has multiple people involved in it. So perhaps to take a little bit of pressure off of our listener here, maybe this isn't just your decision to make. I might bring this up to your girlfriend, to your partner, right? Because perhaps it isn't just about you and you saying, do I want to do this and should I do that? But maybe she doesn't want to be in a relationship where she's only doing the sexual pursuing. And maybe she doesn't want to be married to somebody who's just, quote unquote, her best friend. And she maybe she doesn't want to, you know, have a quote unquote, you know, what did he say? Calm, but boring.
Calm, but
home.
Boring. Yeah. Calm, but
you know,
boring.
It's like, you know, let's assume they're the same age, right? So she's like, you know, she's been in this relationship since she was 25. So she's going to be, you know, God willing, you know, around for, you know, 50, 60, 70 more years. Right. That's a long time to be with, you know, to maybe she wants to be in love. Right. And she wants to have somebody be in love with her
and have someone desire her.
Right. And so I think that's something that maybe we should think about here, too, that with all respect to our listener, that it's not just about sort of what you want. I think the things that are important to us, it's important for us to weigh what's important to us. Right. Is it important for me to know that that I can come home to a secure, loving, predictable home, and that I'm going to have somebody who's going to, you know, be my best friend and be my teammate and be a great co-parent and all those sorts of things. And I do love their family, and I'm not like, oh gosh, you know, what are the in-laws going to do this week? And are they going to, you know, are those things the most important, or is passion and excitement, and I want to tear your clothes off, and I want to just know every single thought about you because you're so interesting. Is that the most important thing? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that for yourself, like what's most important to you. But I think the big thing here, Jane, is that we should be asking the partner what she wants as well, because we nobody has the right to sort of rob that from somebody else. You know, if she wants to have that feeling and she wants to have that relationship, and you cannot be secretly keeping that. And I'm going to turn this over to you two in a second, but I'm spitballing here a bit, so stick with me. But it does kind of remind me a little bit of almost somebody who's in a relationship with somebody, you know, maybe decades ago, who was closet in a way, right? A lot of people married their best friends, like their best gay guy friend, and didn't know it. Right?
Right.
You know, and they had a fantastic life, right? We had all these things in common, and we had kids and all that sort of stuff, but there was a secret, going on underneath. And that's not right to not tell that person that you're married to, that you're keeping this thing from them. That's not an okay thing to do. And so I think this guy should, in a sense, quote unquote, come out, if you will, and say how he's feeling, and that if she's okay doing that and he's okay doing that, maybe we should have a conversation out in the open about it.
Dr. Michael McCutcheon is our resident life coach. If you ever have questions, you can text them at 844-967-2789 or shoot us an email. The one thing that stands out for me, though, Dr. Mike, is the whole thing about passion. And I understand that it's important, but I also, this might make me very unpopular, but passion is not sustainable. It doesn't last. And quite frankly, and here's the bad part, monogamy is boring.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it is.
Yeah.
And I understand where, at least at the beginning of a relationship, the, oh, I want to rip your clothes off and all of that. Right. But that's going to fade.
That's going to fade.
That is
going
to fade. Yep. And you have to have something stronger to build a long-term relationship on, more than just that.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
Right? See, I think there's a fear factor coming into play here too. A fear of complete and utter commitment when it comes to a passionate. And the reason I say that is because that happened to me. That was my relationship. I knew I was in love with Lou, but he never really said it until later on in the relationship. We dated for 4 years. And there was one time when I was supposed to meet him someplace and he stood me up.
Uh-oh.
And I found him at at his friend's house. And he was just like, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid of getting hurt. And I'm like, well, don't worry about that. So I think maybe with this guy too, there is a fear factor that comes into play, that he's afraid of the complete and utter commitment. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm not a life coach.
It sounds like there's some conversations that need to go on here, don't you think, between the two? It sounds like he's been harboring some things to himself. And the things he's saying to us here, I would have a hunch that he's been saying to his friends.
Yes.
But he's probably not saying directly to his partner.
Oh, I'm
That's
sure of
my
it.
Hunch.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, you make an excellent point. And you have to be... Nobody likes hard conversations. Nobody wants to, you know, hurt the other person in the relationship. But as you said, keeping these secrets is almost worse. It is worse. It is worse, right? Than having a direct, honest chat about it.
The one thing I really like about this conversation, in conjunction with, I think, the last one or the one before, is that we know that outside of Carol's coaching office, it will just say on a shingle, run. And outside of Jane's, it says, monogamy is boring. I love it. This is great. We've got your catchphrases down.
I'm going to have so many clients, I'm not going to know what to do. We're just...
Absolutely. Party at Jane's house. Monogamy is boring, y'all. Yeah.
Bring your keys. No. Dr. Michael McCutcheon is our resident life, relationship, career coach, draws on his clinical training and counseling psychology to help us improve relationships and set and achieve our goals and generally fix our lives. We love having you on Fridays, Dr. Mike. Thank you so very much. We will see you next week.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Take care. Stay close. We are coming up against the break. We will be right back to talk about Jump Around, Baby. Big game in Madison tomorrow. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Degrees.
93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Todd Almost Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Jane Matinere.
I'm Carol Kane.
We are covering for Kristen Bry as she is on maternity leave. Wanted to wish you a very, very happy Thanksgiving today.
Right.
You are listening to a best of replay of an earlier program where we talk all things turkey.
So put on the stretch pants, get yourself ready. Because it's always a big day, and you know that everybody overeats, and it's okay. It's okay.
And naps are good.
Yes.
Naps after a big turkey dinner are very good. We wish you a very, very, very happy Thanksgiving. Love to you. Love to your friends. Love to your family.
Absolutely. This is the time of the season that I really embrace wholeheartedly, because it's so wonderful to be able to be around family and friends.
Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now Picasso said in 1910, I'm gonna paint me a man.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 minutes. Before high noon, we have the noon news coming up, followed by the wonderful Todd Almost Show from noon to 2 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. Calvin is on the board, Greg Bach and Carol Kane in studio with me, and we'd love to hear from you as well. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Rami was really fun.
Oh, he's great.
That was fun.
And he's a fantastic comedian, too.
And you know what? It's all in good fun. You know, he doesn't care that I don't care for the Cubs. He doesn't care at all. And that, you know, you got to root for your team. That's all there is to it. If you like them, fine. If you don't, fine.
Little friendly rivalry. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Of course.
All right. Calvin had the great setup music, and we're going to switch gears just a little bit. On the one hand, the SAG strike is over, which is good.
Right.
But we were talking about Picasso off the air.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
This Picasso painting.
Is anything worth $139 million? I don't understand. First of all, I'm not an art aficionado by any stretch of the imagination, but this is one of the ugliest damn things I've ever seen. For $139, can somebody explain to me why Picasso is so respected in the, I don't get it.
I am not an art historian either. And I just, from what I understand, and if anyone knows more about art, we would love for you to chime in on this at 844-967-2789. He brought a different style, right? It was the abstraction. It was abstract.
You saw his evolution too, and he was also one of the great artists in our real time. Like Picasso was alive.
Yeah.
Like generally, I don't know how to say, in the 20th century,
right?
And you saw his progression from one period to another period to another period. And he was an outgoing fella, and he was filmable and all those things. And I think he added to his lore. I think if Picasso lived 200 years ago, I don't know if he'd be as popular.
I just don't think I'm smart enough to figure it out.
But
like, I don't get Jackson Pollock either. You know, that looks like somebody, you know, just threw up on a canvas, or you just start, you know, and it's like, well, watch this arc of this color and that color. I could go and throw stuff on a canvas.
But they did it first. That's the thing. Like someone like Jackson Pollock, I have to believe, took the idea of just painting waterfalls and painting cubes. He said, I don't want to do any of this anymore. I want to do this. And for some reason, but this goes, and people bought it. They understood it. And like, I agree with you, Carol. I look at art and there, I have to try really hard to be like, I understand why people might like this. But at the end of the day, the art world is also kind of a scam. Like art is done by artists, it's taken to like studios or places to be
galleries.
Galleries. And someone who with influence can say, oh yes, I like Jane is an amazing painter. And because you trust me, Carol, as a gallery owner, you're going to say, well, Jane must be an amazing painter.
You need to have the first Janesy.
The first Janesy is $20,000. And you're like, well, I'll give you 50. And then from there, in 20 years,
the value
it might be
$250,000.
I mean, it's the art world is a scam, and it's an amazing scam because it's just so hoity-toity.
Well, and it's who gets to decide this value is assigned to this thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's almost arbitrary, really, when it comes down to it. There is talent, people, but there are people out there. I mean, dare you say there are people out there in the world right now that we will never hear of who are more talented than all the greats.
I've seen some things that show up on my Twitter feed that have blown my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, people decorating little teeny miniature boxes with entire landscapes and things like that. So I would agree with you, Carol, that Picasso, that style doesn't speak to me.
No.
It doesn't touch me.
No.
It doesn't, even at the art museum in downtown Milwaukee, and I went not too long ago, and there is the more modern art wing. And isn't it, there's just one big red dot.
Yeah.
On a big white canvas.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that, yeah. Or where you just have a line that goes down the middle and the bottom is one color and the top is another color. Yeah. It's like, what, huh?
You can't make me understand why that's important. Like, at the end of the day, I'll be like, I guess it's important because you said so and I'm not invested in that world enough. But yeah, when I see it, I'm like, I have more interest in the janitor statue that scares me every time I go. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's the statue of the janitor.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And you turn the corner, and there he is. Like, yes. You've never seen him before. Scared the poop out of you.
But that, you know what? Isn't that funny, that resonates, right?
Yeah.
That resonates more than the red dot on the...
Sure.
On the white board.
Right. I mean, I'm much more traditional, honestly. We were talking off the air before we even get started. You know, Andrew Wyeth, to me, I get it. I see... She's sitting in a field with waving grass. I got it. My favorite Andrew Wyeth is the dog on the bed, because I can relate to that.
Right.
It's like, okay, I get that. Norman Rockwell, I've got my Day at the Vet that I bought years and years ago, and it's this little boy holding his little puppy. I get that. That's not, I get that.
But that's the thing is, then you get art. Just because you don't get the art that you have at home, you get that.
Absolutely.
It connects with you. Not all art is meant to connect with everybody, but all art needs to be understood as far as its importance as set forth by other people, I guess. But you have your art at home. We have our art at home. That is hard to say. We have our art at home, and you know what we choose to put on our walls is what speaks to us.
Right.
And what we and the message we want to speak to other people, even if it's you know. I think that means that in your way, my way, Jane's way, you understand art.
We have a great text from the 224. Scott in Chicago says, when you go to an art gallery, you are simply a tourist looking through the trophy cabinet of a few millionaires. A quote from Banksy.
Oh.
Not wrong.
Not wrong at all.
And you all saw what he did a couple years ago with one of his paintings.
Did he? Is that the one he shredded?
Yeah, it was amazing. But people said that's part. But see, the thing is, that's the funny thing is, once it's shredded at the auction,
right.
That's what he did. He built a frame with a shredder in there, and once they clacked it down, they said, "All right, sold for I think it was like 5 point something." Someone hit a button and it started shredding the actual painting inside the frame, and then stopped halfway through, and people went crazy and wild. But they said that increased the value of the whole thing.
That's going to wrap it up for us. Stay close for the new news, followed by the Todd Allbaugh Show. I hope you will join us again tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County leaders say they're pleased with the deal to sell about 2 square miles of Mount Pleasant's Wisconsin Innovation Park to Microsoft. They tell the Journal Sentinel it will put the business park built for Foxconn on firm financial footing. Microsoft is buying $100 million in land. It would pay enough taxes over the years to cover the cost of the tax district's debt. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A new survey is revealing some interesting things about the food you may be sharing this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, including the calories you may consume. A new Harris poll showing the majority of Americans say there's almost turkey, cranberries, and pumpkin pie as a guarantee. But the survey also reveals 65% of those responding don't even like some of these holiday dishes, yet eat it because of the tradition. The poll also indicates a surprising number of people say they actually prefer eating the leftovers during the weekend rather than the actual holiday meal. One result, which may not be surprising, the average number of calories consumed during your holiday dinner. It's around 4,500, about twice the calories suggested by health experts on any other day. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, 19. Tomorrow, cloudy, 32 with a little light snow possible Saturday night. Into Sunday morning, Sunday will be breezy with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Now, I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Oh,
Welcome back to As Goes, Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach on the board, Carol Kane with me in studio in downtown Waukesha, and you at 844-967-2789. You can call and or text. Carol, I wanted to share this with you.
Okay.
From the 262. It's kind of cool to hear Carol on Civic Media. She is a Wisconsin staple.
Oh, well, that's very nice. That's very kind. Thank you.
That's lovely.
Yes.
And Greg, for our last segment today, we're going to have our theme song, right? The We're Not Dead Yet?
Yeah, we could definitely have that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. That was a listener suggestion.
Yeah, we're not dead yet.
We're not dead yet. That's why we're radio legends, because we're still alive.
Right. We just keep plugging away.
Keep plugging away. Speaking of plugging away, we've been meaning to do this for the last couple of weeks, and there just hasn't been time because there's been so many other things going on. But we want to talk about the lengths we will go to for our four-legged friends.
Right, right. Well,
the things we do for the love of our pets.
Right, and this has been precipitated by the fact that I told Jane a story that is happening at my house.
Right.
And so I, setting the base, I have two dogs. I have Beauregard, who is a English Coonhound mix out of a shelter in Alabama.
Right.
And I also have Sydney, and she is a half Australian Shepherd, half Golden Retriever.
They're both big dogs.
80 pounds each, yeah. 80 pounds apiece. And so they're both seniors. Both of them are getting close to being 13 years old. And
for a big dog, that's getting up there.
That's I know. And I know what's coming down the pike.
I know.
And it's just I hate to think about it. But until that happens, they're my kids.
Right.
I call them my kids.
Sure.
And so Sydney, it was about 8 weeks ago, Sydney was trying to get upstairs to the bedroom. We were, you know, calling it a night.
Right.
And her back legs have been weak, and they gave out on her, and it was like the state fair slide. She just went all the way down. So Carol's solution, and it's been happening ever since, I fixed up the couch as a bed, and I've been sleeping on the couch for weeks now, because then Sydney can come and lay next to the couch and be with me.
Right.
And I can reach down and I can pet her. And because I know her, and I know that if I go upstairs and Beauregard goes upstairs, she's going to be beside herself, and she will lay at the base of the stairs and probably cry.
Or she's going to keep trying to get up the stairs, and she's really going to hurt herself.
And she's
going
to hurt herself.
Right.
Yes. So I, it's, you know, I can't. Really, I tried to get her up again, but she's 80 pounds, and she's, you know.
Sure.
But, so, that's what I'm doing.
So, you've been sleeping on the couch for 2 months?
Yeah. And, you know, Lou kind of looks at me, and he's just like, is this ever going to, I'm like, no.
Nope.
She's my girl, and I'm going to stay with her until whatever we have to do, we have to do. Now, that could be a while because of the fact that the vet says she's healthy as a horse. He said this just happens with
arthritis, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
He says this happens with older dogs, and they lose control of their legs sometime, and this is what's happening with her. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing. And
I don't find that extreme at all. I think there are a lot of people listening with pets who are thinking, yep, I'd do that.
Well, I did talk to my financial advisor called me yesterday as I was driving home. And DJ said the same thing. He goes, my wife, Heather, would do that. And it's, you know, I'm not, no harm, no foul. Who cares?
Right.
It's if for Thanksgiving, if I end up, you know, hosting Thanksgiving, I'll pack everything up and take it upstairs so that people can actually sit on the couch without my
pillow. That's really nice of you.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, that's very accommodating.
I am the best hostess. But, I stopped walking them a little while ago because it's just, they're just old.
Sure.
And so, I mean, you've had dogs and you know what this is like. So I just found it fascinating, you know, what people will go through. Like, there's a woman in my neighborhood, and she's got the doggy baby carriage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she's got a little guy, and
she just rolls. She strollers him around.
Yeah, yeah, sure. You know, why not?
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. What is the most extreme thing you have done out of love for your pet? And it doesn't even have to be that extreme, because I don't think what you're doing is extreme.
No, well, it's talked a little.
For some people, I know. But I'm with you. I would probably do the exact same thing. Now, Greg Bach, looking at your face.
Hi.
I have a feeling you would not do the same thing.
I don't know, because I didn't grow up really with pets.
Okay.
And I was telling Jane this before the show started, is I feel like my brain doesn't have the wiring for that sort of empathy for pets. Like, if I have a dog, I'm going to love that dog. But there are certain things when my friends tell me what they're doing for their pets, I'm like, I don't understand. It's not that I think they're wrong. It's I don't understand why they're doing it. It doesn't compute with me. And I try to be as non-judgmental or non like what? Because I don't want them to feel bad, and I don't want to sound like a psychopath. But like for me, with a pet's a pet. And when the pets, you move on, you do your thing. I don't know. I sound like a monster. Send your calls to my mom's cell phone. It's fine.
Well, and in addition, when I stopped walking them, because Beauregard tore his ACL, and so he couldn't walk, and then Sydney's legs are giving out, and so what did I do? I'd load him up in the car.
And go for a drive?
Yeah. Roll the windows down and take them out in the country for about an hour, and both of them are hanging their heads out, one on one window, one on the other window. People must think I'm crazy, but we just drive around and we look at the farm.
Smell some smells.
And, I talk to them. Actually, I talk to them like they're people.
You're not alone.
No, I don't think so. I think there's an awful lot of people.
You are not alone. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What have you done out of the love of your pet? Don from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Don.
Hi, Don.
Good morning, Jane. Hey, so the caller before the last caller, I don't understand people who don't have the love that other pet owners that such as like myself have for their pets, because they're our babies, We don't have kids, my partner and I. So, yeah, we have dog insurance. We try to give them the best food, try to take them for walks, let them ride in the car, all the things that you would do with your child if you had a child.
What are their names, Don?
Sleep in the bed once in a while. What's that?
What are their names?
Oh, we just got a new lab, which her name is Java, and she's a chocolate lab, and she's a rescue. So, yeah, we try to do what we can. And I was also going to mention that our dog, our last dog, which was a lab, she had hemangiosarcoma. She had a bleeding tumor, and she had issues with falling down, like your guest's dog. So you may want to get her checked to make sure that she doesn't have any kind of tumor growing.
Well, to tell you the truth, she just had her annual exam at the veterinary
clinic.
He said she's okay.
She's real healthy.
Right.
You might try using one of those harnesses that you can hold up by the handle to help her up the stairs.
Well, that's a good idea. She takes Rimadyl and glucosamine, chondroitin.
Yep. Glucosamine. Yep.
But that's not a bad, I don't know why I didn't think of that.
The only thing I can
get one of those little.
The only thing that concerns me about that idea, Don, though, is that Sydney is 80 pounds. I can see both of you falling down the steps.
I don't need any help falling down.
You don't want to do that.
No.
No, and truly, I'm so, so klutzy. I'm so klutzy. I fall all the time, and I don't need any
help. You could get a pet elevator. I mean, Mitt Romney had a car elevator. So.
Well, there you go.
Excellent suggestion, Don. I'm sure we'll get right on that house elevator for the dogs.
I will tell you this.
Thank you.
To give you an idea as to how bad I am, my husband, when we first started dating eons ago, he finally looked at me on one of the dates and he said, cracks in the sidewalk have taken on a whole new meaning for me when I walk with you. Because I'll hit it and down I go. That's it.
And I'd like to also point out that Don just said exactly what I was afraid. I sound like a monster when I talk about this. I don't want to sound like this. I don't want to feel like this either.
But I promise you, Greg, when you and Bridget do finally decide to get a dog, it's going to change you.
Okay.
You are gonna do things for this animal that you would never have believed that you will do.
Sure.
Trust me.
I don't disagree with you, but it's hard for me to. Yeah. I'm not a bad person, everybody. I swear to God, I'm not.
He's really not a bad person.
Well, but I know people that just aren't pet people.
Yeah, for sure.
But I want a dog.
It's going to change you. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. You can call or text on what have you done for the love of your pet, out of love for your pet. Angie from Wisconsin is on the line. Good morning, Angie.
Hi. Yeah. My dog lived to like 15, and I used to give her IV fluids, and I had to learn how to do all that kind of stuff.
You had to do what, Angie?
IV fluids.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Holy smokes.
Yeah. But it made her, she lived a lot. She lived for an extra 3 months that way, and I'm very, very poor. I just worked a lot of extra hours and paid for it that way. So, yeah. All my extra money for those 3 months went all to her. She lived an extra 3 months. I loved her. She lived to 15.
That's so wonderful. What was her name, Angie?
Yeah, I did everything for her. Lexi.
Lexi.
Got it.
Well, she's on the Rainbow Bridge now with my Barkley and my Pierce, and you gave her a great life, Angie.
Yes,
she did, and I have no regrets.
Yeah, so, no.
None with her.
Good.
Loved, loved, loved her, loved her. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much for calling. You can check in as well, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. A woman that I used to work with, her husband would take the dog for a walk every day, but he would go to a different park.
Oh, so it changed the scenery?
Because she wants different smells.
Oh, okay.
It's boring for her.
That's hilarious.
To go to the same park, which I would never have thought of.
In all honesty, I didn't know that they could tell the difference.
No, it's outside. There's lots of smells.
Exactly.
You know, and like you taking your two for car rides now that they're older and they can't walk as far.
Well, and we've got plenty of smells in the backyard too, because I live near a nature preserve.
Oh, that's right.
So we've got deer and fox and raccoons and possums and. We've got them all. I had two turkeys walking through the other day.
Oh, that must have driven them crazy.
To tell you the truth, I kind of looked at them and said, you're taking your life into your own hands. It's a little close to turkey day.
They might be. Oh, yeah, right. Texter from the 414, my dog has diabetes. I'm so sorry. And is going downhill. He's a senior rescue. It's been very difficult. He's 14 and a half.
Wow.
And has exceeded his life expectancy. This is the difficult part of being a pet parent. I've been carrying him around as his back's legs are going. His name is Teddy. Stacy from Waukesha. Oh, Stacy, I feel you.
I do too.
It's so hard when they get older and they start having health problems. It is.
Yep. Well, and when you've got diabetes, you've probably given him insulin. I know a lot of people that have to give their animals insulin. So
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What's the most extreme thing you have done, and maybe it's not extreme to you, out of the love of your pet?
Well, the thing is that, and I stand by this, when you bring them into your family, and Greg, you should listen to this, when they bring them into their family, that's exactly what they become. They become family.
Yes.
And why wouldn't you protect your family and do the most you can possibly do for your family?
I have a great many thoughts on that topic, but we're going to a break, so.
Oh, so he doesn't have to. You're off the hook for now. All right, we're going to a break. One more break when we come back. I hope you will stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Here's something you've never heard before.
Stop. This is Simply Safe.
Introducing 24/7 LifeGuard Protection, only from Simply Safe Home Security. Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/radio. Advanced Home Security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day.
There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to previously recorded content. Enjoy.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, our final break. Right now, though, Greg Bach is on the board and my co-host today, Greg Bach Wednesday, and I'm very excited to have our next guest back again. We spoke not that long ago about the Roseate Spoonbill showing up in Wisconsin, and when I saw the story over the weekend that now we have flamingos showing up here, I emailed him at the last minute Sunday night, and it's like, I need you. So I'm delighted, and Greg has his own nickname for you, but let me just introduce you. David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. David, thank you so much for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me on. Always fun to talk about unusual birds.
Well, Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend. Hey, she was so happy.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ouch. God, I am wounded. Not at all. No, I had so much fun the last conversation that we had, and I just find it fascinating. And obviously a lot of other people find it fascinating because people were flocking to Port Washington. I had to see these flamingos. So, David, what do we know about this?
Well, Florida continues to send us their birds, apparently.
even the birds are fleeing Florida.
Yeah, even the birds are fleeing Florida. We'll leave the political discussion off the board for that. Yeah, it's unusual. Obviously, it's been a very unusual birding year. We had a painted redstart here in the spring, which is a bird from the southwestern part of the United States. We've had the roseate spoonbills up here, and now we've got flamingos. And this is the first time anybody has on record of flamingos in Wisconsin. And they showed up, three adults and two juvenile, apparently. The thought is that they were blown off course or blown up here with Hurricane Adelia back at the end of August, as Hurricane Adelia kind of moved its way up the eastern coast of the United States, because flamingos were seen in kind of Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania. And so states had kind of been monitoring them as they were being blown north. And it's not unusual for birds to get blown off course, especially during migrations, for example. Flamingos don't necessarily migrate, but other birds do. But during migrations, birds can get blown off course and then find themselves well outside of their normal range. And that seems to be the case here. And flamingos are just a cool bird. You know, even people who don't know much about birds or don't know much about wildlife, everybody recognizes a flamingo because they're pink. They've got that kind of cool looking bill and they stand on one leg.
Yeah.
And what more do you need to know?
Well, right. And it's not like they're innocuous and you're going to miss them.
Right, exactly.
And especially five of them. And
yes,
that just sounds, it sounds like the plot for a Chevy Chase movie, that a family of five flamingos, you know, is flying to their vacation spot and they get blown off course and they end up not at Wally World, you know, or something like that.
Or maybe he's the groundskeeper of the golf course. You know,
right.
Yeah.
So what will happen next? I mean, obviously this is not their climate. They can't survive here. Do they stick around until it starts getting chilly and then go back south?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The last I checked, while they were seen, we should let the listeners know, they were first seen at Port Washington.
Right, on Friday.
Lake Michigan, right, on Friday. And the last I checked, they were seen in Adams County on the Wisconsin River, and Adams County is in the central part of the state. So they seem to be moving around a little bit. And we are at the beginning of bird migration right now. So we'll have a lot of birds starting to fly south, and they'll fly south down to Texas, Florida, things like that, including sandhill cranes and some of the larger wading birds, like the great blue herons and other birds like that. And so it is possible that these flamingos will start working their way south, especially as the cold weather starts setting in and daylight starts lessening, that they'll figure out that they might be in the wrong place. And hopefully they'll get in with a flock of birds that are heading south, and we'll kind of get them back on course.
Yeah, don't take them to Canada. That would be bad. If you're just joining us, David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison, and we are talking about the flamingo sighting that was Friday in Port Washington, and now, as David just said, apparently in Adams County. These migrations that happen are really massive, and it happens every year.
Yep.
And kind of goes unnoticed, but we're talking about an enormous number of birds on the move, right?
Millions and millions and millions and millions of birds, yes. And we have different flyways in the United States. So we have a flyway down the East Coast, a flyway down kind of the central part of the state, down the mountain part of the, central part of the United States, mountain part of the United States, West Coast. And so we're in the central flyway, and birds typically will migrate north-south. They'll follow major coastlines, river bodies, things like that. And so, yes, and most birds fly at night, so we don't see them. But if you're interested in this, you can go just Google or search on the web for BirdCast, BIRDCAST, and you can watch the migration, bird migration through weather radar, essentially, is what how they're tracking the birds.
Cool.
And it's really, really cool to see.
David, you have made Jane's day.
Well, that's like the last time we had you on, and you told me about that app where you can actually hold up your phone and get the bird song, and it will identify it for you. Remind us again what the name of that app is, too.
Yep, the app is called Merlin, M-E-R-L-I-N, and Merlin's a type of raptor. It's a free app you can download, and just as if you were trying to identify a song that you might be hearing in a barn, you can use Shazam. Merlin does the same thing, but instead of identifying the song, it identifies the bird singing that you hear, and it is a very, very cool app, and another way to get people outside, and especially nowadays, people are so attached to their electronics. This is a wonderful way to combine what we always have in our right or left hand while we're being outside.
You can get your kids outside that way.
Absolutely. Yep. And we stress that all the time.
Yep. That's great. Well, David Drake, it's always such a pleasure. The next time some bird lands in our lap, you know, I'm going to call you.
You know, I'm more than just birds, Jane.
Ooh, problems in Birderville.
Well, now that I know you have all these other birder girlfriends, I guess we'll have to reevaluate our relationship. Right,
yes, I'm not cheap.
Oh, that was great. David Drake, so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Take care. Have a good rest of your day.
You as
Bye-bye.
Well.
Thanks.
And if you want to check out the show notes after the show, we will get those, the BirdCast up there. We will get the Merlin link up there. So if you want to download a couple of those, you can do that and get involved in the birding world, you guys. I swear to God, it's more fun than you think. Look at Greg. He's not buying it. Anyway, that does it for us. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for watching. Above all, thank you for listening. We will be back with you tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. Stay right here. The news is coming up next. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Those cheers are for a Red Cross convoy believed to be carrying 13 Israeli hostages, as well as 10 from Thailand, and a Filipino national released by Hamas this morning. Their first stop, Israeli hospital. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
They're going to get help from psychologists and social workers, because obviously they've been through a terrible ordeal.
Israel has released 39 Palestinian women and children for its end of the deal. And after more than 12 hours, the ceasefire appears to be holding up. Here's correspondent Ian Lee.
In Gaza, the guns are now silent.